It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, we're not afraid here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock from Phoenix, Arizona, and the BEA Uniful Studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com, P-H-O-E-N-I-X, for those of you that don't know how to spell Phoenix, which I mess up all the time. freedomsphoenix.com, you'll see a lot of goodies on there, and I want to make sure that you see today's archive, because there's going to, you know, there's always, you know, little markers in history, and, you know, one of those is, you know, we're trying to help Adam Kokesh versus the terrible empire of, and one of the places in northern New Mexico where you got the New Mexico Republican Party think that they are bolstering their position against a Ron Paul endorsed congressional candidate that's getting a lot of play, Adam Kokesh, by bringing in Karl Rove. I'm going, you know, it's just the way they think. It's just amazing. I you want to slip them a 20. Well, one of the other campaigns that's going to get a lot of attention here, I'm glad to see that it happened, is David Nolan is one of the founders of the Libertarian Party back in the early 70s. In fact, one of the reasons why they did it was an article that he had wrote for, it was called Liberty Magazine at the time, and he said, I remember reading it. Yeah, it's probably on Freedom's Phoenix. If you did a search for it, David Nolan and Libertarian Party would come up. And what it was, he's saying, look, we need to have a voice. You know, after Nixon was doing wage and price controls and OSHA and EPA and continuing the war and bombing everything, we're going, whoa. I mean, sound familiar? It's kind of like Bush administration. Obama. I mean, it's all the same thing. So they just go, this is not, we can't, no, we're good. We're out of here. You know, this, the Goldwater thing is not going to flourish here. We're done. So they said, we'll do something else. And we'll do this Libertarian Party, run national candidates and so on as a platform for education to get attention. As you become more and more influential and you start getting 50 state ballot stats, and all, oh, no, we got to have a party. We got to have a party that's going to win elections. We got to get you. We got to maneuver in and get our own little special interest kind of doing whatever. And the education of the people and creating a libertarian culture, of which a side effect is support for freedom. And, you know, that just kind of starting to slide by the wayside. And here comes Barr Root, you know, in 08. Bob Barr. Yeah. That was, and they wondered why the revolution didn't come over into the Libertarian Party. Ernie, you know, can't you get them? I mean, why didn't you, how come we can't, and we should have, and all that money should have, we're the real libertarians. Kind of like, really? Do you really think that that's how these young kids see this? I mean, we just had in the last hour, Allison Gibbs, that is, you know, was a scientist making oodles and gobs of money and said, no, I'm good. I'm out. I'm going to do something else because I'm, you know, this is evil. What's the value that you put on your own conscience? Just being able to sleep well. You know, I remember I do a lot of these different events, and it doesn't matter who it was, but they you know, you're do an evening thing, and then the next morning you're doing a morning thing, and you just, you know, you give them what for, and you got a clear conscience. You know, I feel good every evening. The energy I get for doing this, let me tell you what, you don't sleep, that goes away. But, you know, if you do everything that you can every day, you're doing the right thing, you can just lay down and, man, I'm good. You know, I got a beautiful, loving wife and family, and we do the right thing, and then you do everything you can, you go to sleep. A lot of people, if they got stuff to worry about, did they, you know, couch it in just the right way? Did they give the right, did they twist it? Did they able to get, you know, just always thinking about how they're going to manipulate something? They can't sleep. What value does that have? What is that worth? It's worth it. You know, me and sleep are buddies, man. I am just, oh, heck no. If I have worry, this is one thing I've always told my wife. You know, she used to worry a lot. I mean, for a Christian woman, man, that was way too much worrying. I go, well, you know, look at the lilies of the field, man. You know, and the birds of the air, neither do they spin nor do they toil. I mean, you know, God just kind of provides things. And I'm going, you're spinning and toiling too much. I mean, you're worrying too much. I go, worry is a sign that you need to do something. But then once you do it, why are you worrying? The worry is there as a as an incentive, as a sign, as an emotional trigger for us to do something. But some people, they embrace the worry. You know, they kind of, you know, it's almost like I don't know, keep some warm or something. I don't even know what, I don't like worrying. Worrying, that's why I do so. Anytime I worry about, as bad as things get, you know, what do? You know, I'm on the radio. We go do actively. We make signs. We go out and we create. I mean, as much as I can do. Because the more that you're able to do, the more efficient you get in your activism, the more that you can accomplish, the more people that you have helping, the more resources that you get, the more you can do. I mean, a lot of people could be satisfied. It's all they can do. They're working full time at a job, providing, you know, food for their family and shelter and clothing, and they're doing whatever they can. They do a little bit. You know, if that's all they can do, they should, you know, sleep easy. You know, but, you know, if I can do more, so I do more. I sleep better. There is enormous value in having peace of mind. Oftentimes, liberty is really, that's the goal. I just want to have peace of mind. I want to be able to make sure that I know that my family is going to be taken care of in the future. I want to know that they're going to be fed well. I want to know that they're going to be, you know, able to take care of themselves and train and healthy and live in a secure environment. I want to know that. In fact, that's what they prey on. They'll go, oh, man, the future looks pretty bleak. I don't know, man. There's people with towels on their heads that want to kill us. You know, there's dark-skinned people speak funny languages and everything and their religions. And they're going to strap on. It's all going to come to an end if you don't fill in the blank. So there's an entire generation of people that know better. And David Nolan has just filed running for U.S. Senate against McCain. And I'm so glad, because I don't want to have to do it. I ran against John McCain in 2004. It's 6 years later. He's up again. Somebody's got to run against this guy. You know, if I had to, I would do it the last minute and kind of, you know, but I did my best. I'm no heck. No, I ain't doing it. Well, the founder of the Libertarian Party lives in Tucson is doing it. Yay. Yay. We're going to get to have some fun. We're going to find out, you know, what kind of message he's going to have. How hardcore is he going to go? What's he willing to do? We're going to find out. I want to know. You know, I'm sure you'd be have a little bit of curiosity. You know, we do well here in Arizona. You know, by comparison, other states, Libertarian Party gets pretty high percentages. You know, 2, 3, 4 times, you know, the national average. And there's a reason. It started back in 93, 94, even earlier than that. We were active. Now, in their face, this Ron Paul Revolution thing that you got to see on a national basis, imagine that in 1993, 94 in Arizona. Constantly. Since then, why would you think we have such success in bringing up the, all of a sudden, Alaska, Vermont, Arizona. Arizona just did it. Now we have unrestricted concealed carry firearms. Where do you think that came from? It came from 1994, an initiative that we filed in 93 that we go, nope, unrestricted. So we argued no freaking permit, no permission. No, it's an inherent right as a human being to be able to defend yourself against anyone with whatever you want. That was the whole point of the Second Amendment. It wasn't about duck hunting. You know, this is about, you know, who has the power. You know, defend against, I'm not here to defend against, you know, rogue deer. It's against rogue politicians. What do you think? That was the whole point. So they're just, oh, that's crazy talk. Yeah, maybe, but it's true. As time goes on, all of a sudden it becomes the norm. All of a sudden, you know, legislators can't get elected unless they, oh, we love you on this. They're going, oh, we got to get the immigrants. Got to get the immigrants. Yep, got to pass legislation, national ID for the immigrants. But, gosh darn it, we're going to give you your gun rights, though. You know, the immigrant, you know, I got to share that with you. This has been, oh, it's just in my craw. What happened was we had 4409, which Shelton, he immediately after they signed this legislation that I was going on and on about, that they are going to, that they're going to what? They're going to give out national ID. They're going to give it to someone else. Okay? They're going to have the state have it. Driver's license information. Fishing licenses. Hunting licenses. Department of Motor Vehicles. And even if it's found unconstitutional, they still got all the data on everybody. Yeah, I know. They probably got it anyway. But, you know, what's the deal? They're going to make it legal. Turn it all over. What does that have to do with immigration? This whole thing was always about national ID. So what happened Friday? Before it even goes into effect as law, they pulled over a guy, gives him a commercial driver's license, you know, for, it's at a weigh station for his truck. Didn't have his birth certificate with him. Arrested him until his wife got his birth certificate. This is big news here. What do you think was going to happen? We'll be right back.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Ernest Hancock here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the beautiful studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. There's a lot of stuff going on, lots of stuff going on. I want to put, we got David Nolan. He is one of the founders of the Libertarian Party back in the day, back in 71. And he is a resident here in Tucson, Arizona, and decided somebody's got to go up against this McCain guy. I mean, dang. And he's thrown his hat in. He's going up against John freaking McCain, that needs somebody to go. He keeps flip-flopping around. He's not real popular here in Arizona, but, you know, somebody needs to show that. Well, he has opposition in the Republican primary. J.D. Hayworth, which is a talk show host with a Clear Channel station here ever since he lost his bid for re-election for Congress. And he's, you know, he's embraced the immigration thing. Anti-immigration. We got to get them immigrants. All right. Well, now McCain's kind of, oh, no, yeah, we got to get the immigrants. Well, we've been talking about it here in Arizona. What happened was is they passed this legislation to get them immigrants. Well, we knew it was just national ID. That's all this whole thing was about.
So when we were in Nazi Germany back in the day, and the police, hold on, let me finish.
No, let's talk about the bill.
When the guards were
under Obama,
I beg to differ. Was it okay for those Nazi guards to ask people for their papers? Was it okay for them because it was under some kind of statute?
Because that was about immigration too.
1070 does not have police officers stop people and ask them for their papers.
Yeah, dang, Skippy wrong. That's legislator Chuck Gray. And they just said, you know, he went through, Shelton went through, asked all these legislators down there. He was on their face, showing them in the bill. He had the bill in his hand, showing them. No, of course, it's what it says right here. This is what it says. You know, we're not making this stuff up. So what do they say? They go, well, no. And then just this week, a gentleman gets stopped. And they demanded, in addition to his commercial driver's license, that he show his birth certificate. And they arrested him because he didn't have his birth certificate with him. And his crime? He was Hispanic. Wow. Then, of course, he got out. You know he's going to get a lawyer. We knew this was going to happen. We didn't know it was going to happen the day she signed it, you know, or before it's even law. You know, so now we have a libertarian, you know, is going to throw his rhetoric into the middle of this mess. David Nolan. David, I got you there?
You do indeed, Ernest. I'm on the line.
You know, David, I just, you know, how are you going to handle this, man? I mean, you know, what are we looking at?
When you say this, do you mean the
this
whole
issue?
Run against McCain, or are we talking specifically about the immigration bill or the McCain-Lieberman citizen detention bill? You know, what particular thing are we talking about?
You know what? I'll let you pick.
Well, as you pointed out, John McCain is obviously no friend of liberty. He's voted for every big government program, from expanding Medicare to the bailouts. He's bad on gun rights. He's bad on free speech. He postures as some kind of conservative. The conservatives, the J.D. Hayworth conservatives, don't like him because he isn't really a conservative. But he's also not a libertarian. He's really... You know, I hate to use the word, but he's basically a fascist. He believes in a corporate state where the corporations, quote, own things, but the government controls the corporations. And that's becoming more and more blatant as time goes by. I think this immigration bill is a horrendous mistake. I can understand the concern that many people have that undocumented people are coming across the border from Mexico. Some of them are Mexicans, some of them are from Central America. A disproportionately high number of them, I'm sure, are criminals working for the drug cartels, whatever. But the solution is not to give the police the power, in fact, the obligation to stop and interrogate everybody they consider, quote, suspicious, even if they're not doing anything suspicious. The solution, in my mind, in the position I took when I ran for Congress 4 years ago and will take again, is we need to make it easier for people to get in legally and more difficult for them to get in illegally, by which I mean anybody who can prove that they're not a criminal and don't carry a communicable disease should be able to get an entry visa, a visitor visa, whatever you call it, to the United States if they want to come here to work, to help their families, to start a business, whatever. Anybody who doesn't meet those minimal requirements should be kept out, and we can presume, once we make it easy for them to get in, that anybody who can't get in legally is probably coming in with bad intent, and then we can stop them at the border. But right now, we've essentially federalized the Arizona police officers, put them in the position of having to waste a great deal of their time stopping people, such as the person you just described. Obviously, that means they're either going to have to hire more people, which means raising taxes, or they're going to have to devote less time to solving serious crimes like rape, murder, robbery, etc. It's a mess.
You know, the thing is, though, is that these are not measures really for immigration. It's about control. It's about
Absolutely.
You know, this is I'm going to play the clip that played on local television here, and we'll comment on it. It's a real short clip. This is how the news are portrayed just the last couple of days.
Good evening, Arizona. I'm Patty Kirkpatrick. The controversially legal immigration bill isn't even law yet. But one Valley couple says that didn't matter. The man claims he was targeted and forced to provide his birth certificate. Here's Kirsten Joyce with the story. Kirsten?
Good evening, Patty. The husband is a commercial truck driver. He was pulled over this morning, as he says, at Val Vista and the 202 at a weight scale check stop. He was then asked to show his documents. He handed over his commercial vehicle's driver's license and provided a Social Security number. But apparently, according to him, that wasn't enough.
And then he came back and he said, well, I need your birth certificate. And then I said, it's in my house.
And that's when Abden says officers handcuffed him, placing him in a van, transporting him here to the Immigration and Customs Enforcement building in Phoenix off Central Avenue. His wife, Jackie, says she was contacted and told to retrieve Abden's birth certificate. She asked the agent why her husband had been detained and was told,
because he didn't answer the questions correctly. He stated that, you know, his mother is in Mexico currently. That's where she lives. And I asked him, you know, is it a crime for his mother to be in Mexico? And he said that it's not, but he just thought it would be suspicious.
She left work, drove an hour back to Maricopa, where she retrieved his and her documents just in case, showing us Abden was born in Fresno, California. Relieved to be out of that building, the two of them still remain baffled at the encounter.
I don't think it's correct if I have to take my birth certificate with me all the times. I don't think that's correct.
Now, you know, the thing is what is the real issue here? Well, man, he's Mexican looking, and he doesn't talk none too good. You know, this is like they're going, well, of course we're going to send you down to Husky. I don't care what kind of ID y'all got. I want your birth certificate.
And seriously, Ernest, how many people carry their birth certificate with them in their car? One in 100? One in 1,000?
No, not me. I'm not even sure I know where it's at.
Well, exactly. I bet you that close to half the people in the United States, people born in the United States who have birth certificates or were issued birth certificates, could not produce them in less than 24 hours' time because, well, gee, you know, it might be in the folder with the list of with the will and the list of the family jewels, and gosh, I think that's in the box behind the... No.
Well, you're in Tucson, and you have probably even more so, same experience we have here in Phoenix, that Arizona and New Mexico and Southern California was all part of Mexico. It was Mexico. And all of a sudden now we're supposed to, what? You know, these generations of, you know, a lot of people don't understand that. You know, a large percentage of U.S. citizens in the Southwest are of Mexican descent. You know, they look Mexican because they are.
My concern, and I think it is yours too, is that this bill is the you know, the camel's nose into the tent. The idea is they're going to get people to accept the idea of showing whatever kind of identification.
Absolutely. When we come back, David, we're going to get more into this. They're going
to
push. They're
going to
push the button on us, David. We'll be right back.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, satisfy me here in Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, David Nolan from Tucson, Arizona. He wants to give some satisfaction to some troubled individuals that think that John McCain up there would be bad. That would be bad. How bad would that be, David? Are we looking forward to another 6 years of John McCain?
I think we're looking for 6 years of John McCain squared or cubed. Let me just read about a 50-word description of the detention bill that has been introduced into Congress by John McCain and his pal, Senator Joe Lieberman from Connecticut. This is from a site, an article on a site called opencongress.org. It doesn't seem to have any discernible ideological slant, although there probably is one. Anyhow, this is a pretty good, succinct description of the bill. Quote, one of Congress's most notoriously hawkish duos, Senator John McCain, Republican of Arizona, and Senator Joseph Lieberman, independent from Connecticut, recently introduced legislation in response to President Obama's decision to try Umar Farouk Abdulmutallab, the Christmas Day airplane bomber, in a criminal court. Their proposal, which they are calling the, quote, Enemy Belligerent Interrogation, Detention, and Prosecution Act, end quote, would empower the U.S. military to arrest anyone, U.S. citizen or otherwise, who is suspected of terrorist associations and detain them indefinitely without right to a trial. This abolishes habeas corpus. It essentially allows the military, acting on their own or on the orders from the president, to say, you, Ernie, you're a terrorist, you're a subversive, you're a bad guy, and we're going to come and take you away in the middle of the night. No, you don't get a lawyer. No, you don't get a trial. We'll take you somewhere and hold you for as long as we feel is appropriate and do whatever we feel is appropriate to get you to confess to whatever crimes we imagine you have committed.
Well, you know, Russell Pierce already called me domestic terrorist. He's a Senate Appropriations Chairman just for us opposing this immigration bill, saying, look, this is national ID, which is exactly what it proved to be even before it got implemented.
Of course it is. And the sad thing is that all these conservatives who have spent so many years, not just in Arizona, but around the country, proclaiming that they're champions of limited government, saying it's all the evil Democrats and it's all Obama, and before that it was all Bill Clinton, and they, the conservatives, represent a limited constitutional republic viewpoint. It's all BS. They're fascists. They want a big, powerful, centralized government where the elite, the people like McCain and Lieberman, two of the most, you know, disgusting human beings in the U.S. Senate, can collaborate to take away the rights of American citizens and establish a police state similar to what was existed in the Soviet Union and the old East Germany. These guys are all about the power and the control. They claim they're against national ID, but when push comes to shove, of course, that's exactly what they favor. Because realistically, how are you going to prove your citizenship to some police officer. And I don't blame the police officers who are put in the middle, by the way. This bill's been passed. Now it's the law. Now anybody can go and sue the police or sue the city that employs them if they don't prosecute this with enough intensity to suit the person who's concerned. In other words, somebody can go to if the city of Tempe decides not to place a very high priority on this new law and enforcing it, somebody who wants it more stringently enforced can go and file suit to make the police spend more of their time on this bill harassing innocent citizens, which means they'll have less time to chase down people who commit real crimes.
And in addition to that, what's happened is a lot of the law enforcement, because they did this a few years ago in Gilbert, a small town adjacent to the metropolitan area here in the Valley of the Sun in the Phoenix area, and they started just rounding up people, exactly what this bill does. And they filed so many suits because, of course, they did exactly what happened to this other gentleman. He was a U.S. citizen. He just had an accent or a little bit too brown, put him on the ground, and got the left jackboot and the right jackboot on their throat party and said, "Doesn't boy, you going to, immigration." Well, what happened was there was a lot of lawsuits, and the law enforcement officers, they said, "You know what? We're not doing this. You can kiss our butt. We're out there hanging out to dry. We're getting sued. We're getting all kinds of problems. And you want us to do this? You got to have in this law that we're indemnified from any responsibility. You can't sue us." And that's exactly what happened. So I'm going, not only do they have the ability to go after cities that don't enforce this law and say you have to, you can't sue officers that abuse it. So I'm going, this is, you want to know how you get the papers, please, Nazi Germany? This is it. This is it right here. And we have McCain working with, Joe Lieberman was never a big, giant advocate for freedom. And the reason he's independent is because he lost his Democratic primary in the last election that he had. And the only way he could get back on the ballot is he went in as an independent supported by the Republicans.
Exactly.
Speaking crazy.
Of rhino Republicans and other strange creatures, one of the co-sponsors of this McCain-Lieberman bill is Scott Brown, the newly elected Republican from Massachusetts.
Of course.
He was the great hope. The Republicans are all dancing around going, look, we won back the, quote, Kennedy seat. We've got Scott Brown. Isn't he great?
No, he got
Scott
it
Brown
because he agreed.
Another one of those guys.
That's how you get elected in Massachusetts. You don't even think, they go, ooh, Republicans got it. I go, seriously? What did he do? Within 24 hours, he came out, okay, now we can start talking about a national health care that can really be done. We're out of campaign mode now. And all Republicans went, whoa, what was that? And the Libertarians going, what, are you stupid? What do you think was going to happen? Well, I tell you, how far are you willing to go in this campaign, man? I mean, we're going to do what's what? I mean, what? How you plan on campaigning?
Well, the first thing I got to do is I've got to get on the ballot, and we're sending out petitions this week, end of this week, maybe early next week. Hopefully they're going to be out. Petition forms to several hundred registered libertarians in the state of Arizona will go out by the end of the week. And then we're going to have a planning meeting on Saturday up there in Phoenix, actually in Glendale. Hope you can attend, Ernest, to talk about exactly what we can realistically hope to accomplish in terms of reaching people, changing their minds. And as you point out, that's really what this whole process is about. I'm not under the illusion that I'm going to beat John McCain for the Senate seat. He's got the whole political establishment behind him. He's going to have tens of millions of dollars. If by some fluke J.D. Hayworth defeats him in the primary, which is possible, but I think unlikely, then it becomes a different scenario. Realistically, the best showing we've ever had in a U.S. Senate contest in Arizona was in 1994 when the Libertarian candidate Scott Granger got 6.75%. That's the second highest percentage any Libertarian candidate for U.S. Senate has ever received in a three-way race. And we'd like to reach or surpass that mark. You explained to me earlier today that there are a number of factors that went into that achievement, and we may or may not be able to replicate them. But because I do have a fairly high profile in libertarian circles nationwide, I think I can raise more money than the average libertarian Senate candidate can raise, because I can get contributions from all over. I raised $22,000 approximately when I ran for U.S. Congress 4 years ago, which was a drop in the bucket compared to the big money. I could probably raise double that. I think our target will be $50,000. That'll allow us to buy some broadcast spots, put up a few billboards, get bumper stickers out. And I plan on spending a lot of time on talk radio, just as I am with you at this moment.
You know, in 94, I was county chairman, Libertarian Party then, and I ran for Secretary of State. Judge John Buttrick was the gubernatorial candidate. Scott Granger was the U.S. Senate candidate you're talking about.
Right.
John Caro for Attorney General. We had mine inspector. We had 30 legislators. I mean, rock and roll. I mean, it was, you know, here we are. So there was a lot behind that. But I tell you, there has been a progression since then of more. It may have started then, but there's a lot of freedom that's been expressed in this state. We just had, at that same year, we were doing freaking out on we got to have unrestricted concealed carry. And, of course, they passed a permit for that, and they just repealed that. Now you can Alaska, Vermont, and Arizona, unrestricted concealed carry, no permit. Well, this is a long process of battles of freeing minds that we got to the point that now we have the founder of the Libertarian Party running against John McCain for that seat. And I'm going, you know, the mind boggles at the imagination that I can put towards this effort. I mean, I'm just going, let me think. Yummy. So we can have some fun with this. So I may not be able to be involved in your campaign that much. I don't want that because I don't like campaign filling out paperwork and stuff anyway.
But that
doesn't mean that I can't do whatever the heck I want as an individual, and I'm an individual doing kind of guy. So this is, you got Tucson covered, man. You know, we'll see what we can do up here to give what fur to John McCain. But I'm telling you, this is a very, very important race to make it clear what the issues are.
I agree entirely. That's why I'm running.
Yeah, and I appreciate it. You know, thanks for coming on the show, man. It's been good having you on. I'm glad you're doing this, and power to you, because freedom's the answer. What's the freaking question? And it gets really messy first, but in the end, freedom always wins. We'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, in just a little bit.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, it's the sound of the po-po, and here they come, one your eyes did. You know, the thing is that, you know, I'm just wondering, is that going to be standard? You know, papers, please, and you just got to have the right paper. And then they'll say, you know, if you had the right papers, if you had your Western Hemisphere Travel Initiative document, which is in Arizona, is enhanced driver's license, which is your Arizona driver's license anyway, I guess that's not good enough. Even a commercial driver's license. Not good enough, because you have an accent. You little brown, you need to get down on the ground, boy. Didn't you get the memo, boy? What do you think happens when they do that? You know, it's almost as if they're doing it on purpose. You think it might be? They're trying to get a reaction out of people. They want what? I don't know. I advocate the love. You know, that's one thing. That was a good email from the morning show. This morning I got an email from a listener that said, you know, it reminded them of, let me pull this up. It reminded them of a quote from Gandhi. You know, they're going, you know, this is, you know, it reminded me of, you know, this quote from Gandhi about him saying, yeah, you know, I remember that. Let me go ahead and pull this up. Dang it. You know, I should have had it ready. I didn't even think about it until I'm talking to y'all. But the point that they're making is that we have an entire generation that is programmed to violence. You know, that's one thing about the Black Eyed Peas thing. You know, we're taught to hate. We're taught, you know, the video games, the movies. You can't. This is one thing that I did. I'm going to do this show again. There was a movie. It was called Not Yet Rated, and it was about the rating system in Hollywood on the movies. And what they had done is they go, why is it that you can? A good example was Team America, that the South Park creators, Matt Stone and Trey Parker. Well, I think it was Matt Stone. I can't remember which one did it, but he did Team America. He led that up, and it's a puppet thing. You know, it's like Team America. You know, Blank, yeah, you know, and they did this movie, and it was popular at the theaters, and so on, made money and everything, but it was making fun of the War on Terror. And there was a sex scene in there between puppets. And they gave it an NC-17 rating, and they had to take out certain acts or these puppets. I mean, there was no genitalia, and it was just puppets, you know, doing, you know, just clanging together and so on, and give it an NC-17. And I'm going, seriously? And you have, you know, they give an R rating to slasher movies where they're taking, you know, swords across your chest and whatever. You have these teen, you know, TNA movies, you know, they just got, you know, nakedness and doing whatever and the kids at camp, what you call it, on the lake or whatever. And you know, you can have sex scenes, absolutely. Have sex scenes as long as, you know, Jason, or Friday the 13th, Freddy Krueger or something like that comes in while the kids are having sex and, you know, puts a spear through them and pins them to the floor through their bunk bed. And you do that, it's okay. You know, you get them on the beach, you know, somebody comes slashing them up, you know, mows them down with a machine gun, that's okay. But just having sex for, you know, pleasure? Oh, heck no. There has to be some kind of a negative connotation, you know, with these teens and sex. You know, it affects their psyche. You know, they're dreaming, or you know, all of a sudden, you know, they, I bet you an entire generation of teens don't have wet dreams anymore. Is that good, bad? You know, I'm wondering, was it intentional that they would drive this pleasure sexual something out in place it, and in place of it, put violence and blood and death? Well, this movie is not yet rated. It was a documentary on the rating of films for just that very question. And I'm just going, wow, man, there is something weird going on. You know, something, I mean, weird. And the comment this gentleman, he sent to me, he goes, Ernest, something you said today on your radio program reminded me of a quote. And this is from Gandhi. And he goes, quote, whenever I despair, I remember that the way of truth and love has always won. There may be tyrants and murderers, and for a time they may seem invincible, but in the end, they always fail. Think of it, always. Gandhi. Regards, Ken. And I'm like, right on, right freaking on. And this is something that I learned, you know, just from experience. Bad guys hate one thing more than anything else. They hate. When you counter their hate with love. You know, I just want to share the truth with you, brother. No. No, I got to hate them. Hate. Go kill somebody, get them, whatever, because it all comes with control. It all comes with more power. It all comes with fear of the masses. You know, this huddling herd mentality kind of thing. It's all about control. It always has been. Immigration, oh, we're feared of them and everything so that we can pass a national ID. There was no way they were going to pass such a draconian measure without the fear, or at least the fear of you not supporting it. We're not afraid. We're not afraid, says Morpheus in our opener. Yeah, I do that on purpose. I go, I understand what they're trying to do. They want you to be afraid. They want you to be afraid of ridicule. They want you to be afraid of bad press. They want you to be afraid of, you know, losing your livelihood. They want you to be afraid. You know, fear dominant. You know, I tell you, my kids, each one of my four kids, 6 years, Phoenix Junior, Senior, Christian High. And, you know, saw enough, you know, W bumper stickers, I'm good. On the marquee out front, you know, and they have a nice, you know, school there. You know, and we scrimped and saved, and we had a lot of tuition programs that we qualified for, Christian tuition program, Arizona School Choice Trust, a lot of friends that would donate. They have a program here in Arizona that you can, you know, direct some of your tax, your money, you direct it towards, you know, a school program that then you get it taken off your taxes and do all kinds of stuff to make sure that the Hancock kids got a quality private education, or I wouldn't have done the activism that I did. I made it very clear. I'm going, look, man, my kids are not going to suffer. No, the heck no. I am not going to be going through the rest of my life having to deal with all their, you know, crack hoe friends and everything from the public school system. That's not going to happen. That was my opinion. I'm not doing it. You know, so this is, we got to find a way that we're going to fund, and, you know, my kid and done. And during the restaurant years, we had a little bit more money and so on. So it's kind of, you know, we were able to get, and I'm glad that we did that, or I would not have been the activist that I am now. Kids win first. This whole thing is about my kids and grandkids. What's the freaking point if they got to suffer? So, got that taken care of. Going to the school, and then their marquee, you know, they always have, you know, PTA. Well, they don't have PTA there, but, I mean, you know, they have, you know, meetings of and the volleyball tournament, whatever, and so on. And one time for, they must have had it up for a whole quarter, you know, a whole grading period. You know, they must have been afeard or something. I mean, I don't know what was going on, but they had this one, you know, the fear of the Lord, beginning of wisdom is fear of the Lord. And I'm wow. That had to be Old Testament. You know, because I mean, the whole point, and I hope it's not New Testament. I'm not even sure where it came from, but I know it's quoted out of the Bible. And I pick up the kids every day. I go, well, were you feared today? Did you get enough feared? Are you feared? You know, and I just mock it all the time. I was so mad at it because the whole point of being Christian was to take the fear away, to inject the love. You know, that was the whole point. You know. You just, you know, I am the light, I am the way. Principle, parable, testimony, witness, voluntary persuasion. You know, you'll go to Caesar and make him be, people be your brother's keeper, and, oh, can I borrow a spear in the side? You know, I'm just going, that's not what this is about. It's about the love. Where is it? When do you see the love anymore? I mean, even on, you know, the marquees out in front of churches and everything, you know, come witness the love, feel the love. Even on Easter. You know, it's crucified and died and blood and guts and passion of. You know, I'm going, wow, where's the love? They beat the love out. Why? You know, there's a part in the Bible, you know, the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes is the benefits. Because if you go to the people of the day in Rome and say, hey, you know, yeah, come join us, man, and be lion food in the Colosseum. Nah, I'm good. I'm over here, man. I'd rather not. You know, there had to be some benefit. They had to be arguing some benefit. You know, it was the love. That was the benefit. You know, I understand what this quote is, and this is a universal truth. Love has enormous power. If they can get you to hate, if they can get you to fear, they can get you to do anything they want. If you just go, no, I'm good, I'm all about the love, and you can't have love without truth. It's just truth. Trust is built on truth. Love, it's all part of the same thing. It's what makes us humans instead of, you know, base animals. So that's what I do. The love. That doesn't mean I don't get angry. You know, that doesn't mean I don't get passionate, but I have trained myself to redirect it. To just, you know, inform more, burn more DVDs, put up more signs, communicate with people more, you know, allow them to express themselves. Love, love, love conquers everything, and the bad guys know it. I don't know what they're going to do, but I guarantee you this has everything to do with fear and hate and worry and being anxious and anxiety, and all the negative feelings that you need to purge from your life is what they're going to use to get you to do what they want. Take a deep breath and find the love. You'll be a lot happier. We'll see you tomorrow.